Colin.
¿Dónde está mi dinero? Solo inténtalo, amigo. Adelante.
He estado en unas cuantas peleas.
Oye, espera, creo que debo descansar. Tus descargos están empezando a doler, y mucho.
Gran pregunta, Sammy. Es decir, ¿qué hace cualquiera de nosotros aquí? ¡Wow! ¡Qué profundo!
¿Qué creen que están haciendo? ¡Regresen a trabajar!
Adiós.
Buenas noches.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra podcast for DongWuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Mel.
Hello.
Sam.
Hi.
Delaney.
Hello.
Britt.
Hi.
And Philip.
Hey, guys.
Today we'll be discussing the recent Book 3 leak of episodes 3 to 6. There's going to be two parts to this podcast. The first part will be a spoiler-free section where we would just discuss the leak itself and general impressions of the episodes. So if you have not seen the leak of episodes 3 to 6, which we'll talk about whether you should or not, spoiler, you shouldn't, then not because of quality, but just because we're missing episodes 1 to 2, and it's in Spanish. So if you have not seen it, you can keep listening until I say not to. You can either wait for me to say so on the podcast or look in the episode description. I'll give you a time for when the spoilers start. So we'll discuss the leak and we'll tell you what happened. That intro was probably funny to like five of you, but
it was funny to me.
Yes, you need to like have listened to the podcast before to get that, and like probably have seen the episode. So yeah, I also
understanding Spanish kind of a
well. I tried to make it non-spoiler in case people understand Spanish and are listening.
Oh yeah, it's not. But just, yeah, it's real funny.
There's just like one character. If you recognize their voice, then you know they're back. But it's very minor. Okay. Anyway, we are at DongWuFang Tumblr and Twitter. And okay, guys, breaking news: the Book 3 trailer has just came out. We're recording this now after we've recorded the rest of the podcast, but I'm inserting it into the front of the podcast. So whatever. But yeah, the trailer came out. Some of us have watched it. Some of us have not. I have not watched it yet. What we're gonna do is we're going to all watch it at once. And so you guys can watch it while we're watching it, and I'm watching it for the first time. We can react to it, and then we'll discuss what's going on with it. And this is still no spoilers, so we're not going to say if anything in the trailer has popped up in episodes 3 to 6 that we've seen. So let's make sure of that, guys. But yeah, no spoilers here. I'll tell you when spoilers start, which will be in a little bit after this trailer discussion. So everyone have it up. We're going to go on start. So I'm going to count down from 3 to start. 3, 2, 1, start. That was just nothing for a while. Okay. Yeah. So now it's this weird symbol. And it says Book 3 Change.
Yeah.
We knew that was Book 3 Change.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
The logo thing reminds me of Baba Baba.
Korra staring out over a place. We see this city, which we know what it is, but you guys don't. Yeah.
Yes.
We've seen this scene. Okay, yep. I'm not supposed to do this, but this is
gosh,
a thing.
There's a bunch of airbenders.
Ooh, bison. Oh, yeah. And a bunch of airbenders. Nope. This looks really good in HD.
The clothes. I wonder who those people are.
Like, so I'm sure people are going to be so excited airbenders. To listen to you guys. Just
I know they're going to be excited. They're watching it with us, whoa. Okay?
There's a bunch of metal benders on a bridge. Jeez.
Is that Fumi airbending?
Wait, what?
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 Is that a thing that just happened?
Fumi can airbend.
What?
There are these people. There's new characters. Magma bending. There's a dragon. There's some White Lotus people. There's a new character. There's another new character. There's some driving that looks like young Lin. There's a lot of
Airbender dude.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my god!
There was Korra and Asami. There's Dinora in spirit form.
Guys, Korsami is real.
What?
Okay. Talking about the thing on the bison.
Yeah,
the
there's
bison, the
and it's
Naga.
A
yeah.
So
Naga.
Now we know for sure that and. Sandbender? Sandfish?
Sandfish.
What is even happening right now? Whoa. Wait, was that?
Oh, baby.
Was that guy?
Dinora, I think.
What is
that a spirit?
What is the spirit will?
Wait.
Whoa.
What is.
Mako Slow.
That's Zuko again.
This is some epicness, guys.
What's even happening right now? A lot of people are fighting. That's what's happening.
Like, let's do fight.
Things. Lots of combat.
There's the twins
lots
are
of
back.
Teams.
That's Korra rescuing a child. Okay, that was the trailer.
How did you not like that, Mel?
Korra apparently rescues children now.
There's just a bunch of fight scenes.
Yeah, I don't think Brian made that trailer.
Yeah, it was kind of just a bunch of fight scenes. And
that's true.
Yeah. So there's two main takeaways I took. Well, okay, first of all, Zuko, but we already knew that, honestly. Not that you guys necessarily knew, but we did.
Boomy airbended.
Did Boomy actually airbend?
Yes. Oh my god.
He was moving his hand in front of his face, like, holy crap, I'm airbending.
This makes what we see in episodes 3-6 really interesting now, actually.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, my big takeaway is Korra and Asami riding together. Yes, one of them was hurt. Which one was?
What?
One of them was hurt, and they were riding.
Asami was holding Korra.
Korrasami forever, first of all.
Korrasami's real. Look at it. There's
proof. So there's proof, and we're going to declare it canon now.
Yes, it's a thing now.
Did you see where they were? Like, it looked like they were riding out of some, like, one of the poles, maybe?
Yeah, it looked like it was in the south. I want to see if I can pull that up again.
I thought it looked desert-like. I thought it looked like the Spirit Oasis.
It was like Korra and Asami. They're in the Earth Kingdom. It's a desert.
It's like a desert.
It's like a spirit. Maybe. It looks like the Oasis town.
But
yeah.
It was like at night, so like it's
at night, so it looks. And Korra's passed out on like Naga, and Asami's holding her, and then she's looking surprised at the camera. So
what's the timestamp for that?
It's around one minute.
That's
in.
My background now. Like, I don't even care.
So that trailer was pretty crazy. I don't like that it was mostly fighting things. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Zuko being back. We seem to see a lot of people we don't know. And since no spoilers, we're not going to talk about them. And Boomy airbending, which is kind of crazy and makes more sense if you've seen episodes 3-6, but not really. It's still like, what's going on with this? Even more now. It's like, okay, seriously, what's happening now?
It was like all up in Mako's face, so that might be like kind of like an Azula kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in Mako's face?
The waterbender.
Waterbending? Yeah.
Where it went to slow-mo where Mako was like fire punched through the water.
Yeah.
No, before that, had him against the wall. Was in his face.
What other notable things can we talk about here? The problem is we've seen most of this. I would say 50% of the trailers from 3-6.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Can we do like a second discussion of this that is spoilers?
so much editing for me. Yeah, we can do that. We'll insert that at the end of the podcast, yeah. Okay. Anything else we can say non-spoiler about the trailer?
I mean, I liked it. It's too much action.
I'm glad it was original and not stuff we've already seen.
Yes, there was some original stuff.
So it was actually like a legitimate trailer this time.
Yeah, and
It was definitely a made for internet trailer though. It wasn't like, I don't think they're going to air that trailer on TV.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh no.
Okay. I guess
I have no idea what the plot.
One other thing to discuss is this as the huge news from Nick. This isn't huge news. Thank you again, Nick, for disappointing us.
It makes such a big deal, and then it's always nothing.
This was more substantial than previous ones.
I agree. This is much more substantial than a stupid, like, Java game.
Seems to be a direct counter to the fake trailer that's been circulating. I feel like that's what pissed off Nick more than the episodes leaking.
Yeah, probably.
Was the fake trailer. So that's
Looking at this, even in 720, is so much nicer than the leaks.
It really is. Amazing. I think I'm already... we're about to discuss, like, I don't think it's happened yet, how I think the animation might be worse, and viewing the trailer, I want to say that's not true already.
You've already changed
your mind. Yeah, I've already changed
my mind. I have a feeling it's going to be maybe even better, or at least on the same level as the season 2 animation, where we all just kind of stared at it, and we're like, whoa.
Also keep in mind, like, book 3, like, earlier you said you kind of felt like it was rushed, but they've been working on it since, like, middle of book 2 production.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So they had the
production
concept and everything.
The animation is what I mean specifically though. Like literally, what's given to Studio Mirror, I think, was in their hands less of an amount of time than previous.
Was it? Like I feel like they might have just gotten it earlier because they got storyboarding and stuff.
It is possible they're working on books 2 and 3 simultaneously. That's possible. I think it's maybe
now
likely.
They're doing four. So they probably
well, it sounds
started
like
animating
it,
four.
It sounds they like have, they've yeah, been, they like, they do both, they do two seasons at a time, because they've always said they
yeah,
were doing three.
Yeah, but the reason that that might, that was, that's put into question is because they declined to work on future seasons of Avatar at one point, so, or Korra at one point. So, like, what,
yeah.
what, yeah, so what was the schedule
I mean, like,
there?
Mike and Brian have been posting, like, color correction stuff on their Tumblrs for, like, several months.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. So it's possible that everything you're about to hear me say is about the animation is not true, but I don't know. So yeah, that's it for our non-spoiler book three trailer discussion. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to edit and cut to our previously recorded leak discussion. It's still non, I think what you're about to hear is still non-spoilers, and then I will tell you when spoilers stop, like I said before. I'll tell you when there's going to be spoilers for book episodes 3 to 6, and then at the end of our spoiler part of the leak discussion, I will put the spoiler-filled trailer discussion. So that's what we haven't recorded yet. So this is four different parts. So that's
really it. Isn't super confusing.
This is a lot
I think
of
it
time
is confusing,
travel
but
podcast,
yeah. So it's a lot of time travels. Anyway, so yeah. So here is our leak discussion. So let's get right into it. The leak. So Nick Mundo Nick is Nick Latin Nick's Latin American people. And
that's Mexico specifically.
Yeah, I guess. It seems I think they say Latin America, but it does seem like Mexico. The dub of the Avatar of the episodes is supposedly Chilean actually. So I don't know what's going on with that. But they got confused. They were putting all the book two episodes on their website and they got confused between book versus season. And so they accidentally put episodes 3 to 6 of book 3 online, Spanish dubbed version. And so now we have those, and people since have came out with subtitles for them and stuff like that. And yeah, it's one of the most major Avatar leaks, although Korra and Avatar have certainly have a history of leaking many things. And unlike previous, I would say previous book one episodes going online, this was more of a leak than a hack. Like, they had put these up. It was not discovered on their website.
Well.
And they were up for a while, too.
They were.
Yes.
I don't know if they might still be up. I'm not sure.
I think they took them down at this point. But yeah, for an entire day at least. So I guess the first thing to address is how the quality of the episodes. And again, this is a spoiler-free section, but we all have seen the episodes. And I think the most notable thing to come out of this is, and I have like a talking point quote here, lost in the controversy of this leak is the fact that Mike and Brian have created four of the best episodes of American animation since 2008 here. So since Avatar ended. The quality difference between book three and the rest of Korra, in my opinion, is pretty high from what we've seen.
And yeah, it was very solid.
I would definitely agree.
And I don't know how that happens, but suddenly we've gotten back to like Avatar levels of quality,
and it wasn't just one thing; it was kind of across the board, like
writing. It's just like everything. Yeah. Everything
well, even with those middle better. Episodes, you were getting the semblance of the plot, even without having the first. I think it was the first three episodes, and where the plot, it's all seems to be formed a lot better and connecting a lot better than I think past seasons have.
Yeah, and I think we'll get into. Definitely to specifics in the spoiler section, but certainly the pacing seems to be the most notable difference.
Especially, and they also have to think, didn't we all agree season one was like way better than season two? That was
on average.
So I think, I was just going to say that there's a big pacing difference between season one and season two. So coming into these leaked episodes, I think it's more noticeable just because we just came off of, but our most recent experiences with season two. So I personally feel like I need to rewatch season one to like actually completely gauge, but I would definitely like agree overall quality.
It's pretty crazy how good these seem to be, and we'll get into that. One thing I wanted to talk about was the animation quality. These weren't leaked in HD, although they maybe were on the website. They weren't ripped in HD. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, really.
I thought they were pretty, and I was watching.
They were good looking. The original leak was in 480p, but someone did some work to it to make them look better. But it was it reduced the resolution to 352p, but it looked better than the 480.
Well, at least it wasn't a bunch of blocky pixels, right?
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make is, one, it's not Studio Perot anymore. It's all Studio Mir. But the other point is, these episodes were seemingly completed much faster than previous Core episodes. So I wonder if the animation is more rushed. I wonder if when we get these episodes in HD, they will be slightly worse looking than Book 2's Studio Mir episodes.
Does it really matter?
Not really, but I've noticed it's seemingly a lot of the like backgrounds are just not moving, which is one of the telltale signs of like rushed animation.
And that was a complaint of season 2 also.
It's a complaint of Studio Perel, but not Studio Mir's episodes.
It's true.
So I feel like Studio Mir might be rushing through the episodes more, which might be a good call because you can't take forever on them. But I just thought it should be of note, and we can't really judge it, I don't think, until we get them in full quality.
Oh, yeah. And I think if they are rushing it, it's probably in reaction to the ridiculous wait that there was between season 1 and season 2. And even also, I really enjoyed, I know it wasn't HD, but it's beautiful artwork. But a season 2, I felt, was much more visual, I don't think I'm spoiling anything here, that, of course, when we talked about the higher quality, that season 3 seems more, it will hopefully be more focused on storytelling and dialogue.
There's no A New Spiritual Age to compare it to.
Yeah, there's no episode with the bright, pretty colors.
Yeah. So I guess we can see. We'll see on that. More on this type of stuff in the spoiler section. One thing I want to talk about is who's to blame for this leak. I think it's, if anyone is to blame, it is Nick, I think, pretty clearly.
American Nick?
No, just Nick in general. I think there's two parts of Nick that you can blame. Nick Latin America for putting them online accidentally, but things like that happen. And the reason they got put online accidentally is because Nick America feels the need to distinguish between books and seasons, which is just confusing to everyone. It really almost seems like this is inevitable that something like this would happen.
It's like they were asking for it to happen.
I basically agree with that, yeah. So it's...
I have a question.
Yes.
The first episode of Korra Book 1 was leaked, and then we got season 2 leaks, didn't we?
And right did after season 2 leak?
I don't know.
Yeah, there were like steals and stuff that leaked.
Well, there was the first episode of season 2 that people recorded shoddily from...
There's just the comic con, that's it.
That wasn't a leak.
I don't think there are any full episodes that leaked in book 2. Voice in the Night in book 1 leaked early. That was a hack, though. That was not a leak.
But after that, didn't we always get like the release date like a couple of days after? Or like really soon after?
This leak is different. The first leak was involving a press copy of the episode that came out early. So it's different circumstances, and the second one was Comic-Con, so I would say we shouldn't judge from... Okay. That Nick is going to react differently to this one, I would say, than the previous ones.
Especially since it was entirely their responsibility. Like, they can't blame it on anybody. It was their fault.
Yeah.
Though I'm sure they're not happy about people creating subs for it and stuff.
Some people speak Spanish and English at the same time.
Well, speaking of this, Mike and Brian's reactions to this leak, which just came out recently. Brian basically made a post. I think everything was just very general statements. The most interesting thing I thought he said was, I wish that episodes 1 to 4 had leaked instead of 3 to 6, which I think is very understandable. I think one of the major faults of, like the fact that this leak happened, one of the bad things was that we don't get the context of the first two episodes. And that seems to be the main point of Brian's reaction, was that he wishes we didn't see them out of order. He wishes we saw the order they intended them to. Which I think is interesting, because I actually think the episodes stand pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, and the context you need is pretty easily inferable from the previous on episode.
I think except for like one thing, one major plot point, then which I think is probably what he's thinking about.
And honestly, like you kind of forget for the most part that you don't have the context aside from when they say certain things or when certain characters appear.
Yeah.
So it's not that big a deal. Personally, I'm like, but I also can see his standpoint of, you know, if a leak was inevitable, at least we got, like, it would have been better so people to be excited about it. And it kind of ruins, because I could see them they're kind of setting things up for a foreshadowing and, you know, big surprises. So I can see them.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Update on the big Korra news. Nick Animation Studio reblogged Coronation and said, done, done, done. So, you know, thanks, wow. Nick, for thank wow. you, Nick, for that. Okay, and continuing thanks, on. Mike's reaction, though, I feel like was more of a controversial reaction. Mike basically said, just reblogged Brian's post and said, thank you for thanks to those of you who didn't spread the leak, like those of you who didn't reblog.
Didn't.
So, you know, that's the type of reaction which I was hoping they wouldn't have. And it honestly does not surprise me that Mike's the one to have that. But, like, what? Are you saying it's my, like, for context of this, I got the links, the download links for the episodes out there on the Dongfeng Tumblr. So, like, is Mike saying that I did a bad thing by yes. that? I guess. I don't
you
really
belong
like,
in jail.
I don't really like,
I mean,
getting
to be fair,
for
though,
it.
You can't really expect him to be excited about it. Like, he wouldn't,
you know, like,
I think a reaction like Brian's is perfectly fine, but I don't think blaming the fans is good here. Which
that's
is
he wasn't there. Blaming you. He was just like, thanks for if you didn't, you know.
Which is like passive aggressive
which,
blaming.
Which is a way of saying basically and to those of you who did.
Yeah, like.
Because it's
like
really
that.
A knee-jerk reaction is what it seems like, you know. Because, like, obviously he's clearly it seems that he's probably more, like, just based on that, he might be more upset about it than Brian, and it's because, I don't know why, but then, so then the only thing he can complain about now, and because he can't really get mad at Nick, because Nick's kind of in charge, so he's just gonna, like, he has to react to the only people he can react to, and it's the fans, because they're the, like, because people reblogged and stuff, and I reblog everything Dongfeng, you know, posts, so, and
thank
I get,
you.
Just seems like a knee jerk.
The problem with this type of reaction is that you're punishing the fans for being excited about your show.
It's true.
That's
this is a problem.
This is any sort of reacting negatively to a leak is what this comes off as. Here's some backstory. Viacom, Dongfeng facilitated a Korra Book One leak, the first episode. We hosted images and videos from this press copy of the first episode that came out. Viacom then basically threatened to sue us using scare tactics and threatened us to make us take these things down. This type of thing really comes across badly. We're a fan site and we're trying to get excited about the show, and they're protecting their IP, but like it's awful.
A lot of it's the strikes and effect too, where by creating publicity about the leak that you don't want people to see, more people see it.
Yeah, that's true, and this is why I said I made a post about the fact that again. That Tumblr took down our posts with the links, which theoretically Viacom told them to do that. It just comes across as punishing their fans, and it's very bad.
And especially when it was Nick's fault this time. Especially.
It was, especially that, I agree.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, oh, so it's our fault you guys can't, you know, tell the difference between the stupid seasons and books you decided on. And now you're going to get mad at us because you're spreading it around and we're excited
because
we haven't had news for,
yeah,
like, a
one
whole
of your
year.
Child companies messed up.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
It is.
And this...
silly. Like, it doesn't even mean it's silly.
Well, just the whole atmosphere of being a fan of Nick is just... it's impossible. It's like they don't want us.
That's the big picture.
We don't buy toys.
So there's two reactions to this. One is...
you don't buy toys.
I'm long gone since believing that Viacom has any sense of... caring about anyone. They're an evil corporation, basically. Like,
they really are.
It's not worth even considering them. Nick is supposed to care about their fans. They've been doing a horrible job. I wrote an opinion piece on this a few months ago, and it's gotten worse since. They just don't seem to care about the fandom. They don't know how to handle a fandom. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this leak. What they're about to announce, I think, is going to be interesting. Is then an option is then putting all of Book 3 online. Is that a good way to handle this leak? I think it's probably them continually not knowing how to handle their fandom culture, because they're not creating any sort of build up to their release of the season. They're not doing it justice. They're just going to put it all up. But then again, this is only speculation on what they might do. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, they just, since day one, they've not known how to manage any like show with a large fandom.
Which is, you would think if any network wouldn't know how to, it would be a children's network, but Nick seems to do it more than anyone else. Nickelodeon's in trouble in general. They screw up on a lot of things, and SpongeBob is 40% of their programming, and their ratings are declining all entirely. The only thing that gets good ratings on there is SpongeBob. If they move Korra to Nicktoons, which is another possible thing out of this announcement, what shows do they have left? They have SpongeBob repeats, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Sanjay and Craig. Like, there's nothing that gets ratings on the network. Anyway.
I see the ones of their TMNT. It's actually not bad.
Yeah, TMNT is not
no,
bad.
No faults to TMNT. I'm just saying there's very few. They don't have much
in comparison to the other kids' networks that have like
tons. Cartoon Network has tons of shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have like, and they're hard hitting. Okay, I kind of hate Cartoon Network, but I mean, I do like some of their shows. But like hard hitting, like really clearly franchised shows. And then Nick has like SpongeBob. Like honestly, it's really the only show they franchise at all.
SpongeBob has been going on for like 15 years.
Who?
The network's dependence on SpongeBob.
Well, they actually, SpongeBob's over now. It's just reruns.
It will be their downfalls. So
DC also has a lot better licensing because they have like DC and that kind of thing going for them.
Well, that's because Nick doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, last thing I want to talk about before we get into spoilers. Do we recommend that people watch episodes 3 to 6? Now, this might be irrelevant because Nick might just put all the episodes online tonight. But assuming that doesn't happen... these episodes are in Spanish. You can find them subtitled, but they're in Spanish, and you don't have the context of episodes 1 and 2. I would say, if you have not yet watched the episodes, please, I would say, try not to. And I think there's a few reasons for this. One is that we're not getting the full effect of the episodes. I think we're getting a translation into Spanish and then a shoddy translation back into English. And yes. I think the dialogue is going to seem a lot worse than it actually is. It's just going to seem stale. Korra dialogue's already stale, so like it's not doing it justice.
There are a lot of things that don't translate, so we just need to wait. Yeah,
I agree. Second thing is we don't have the context of episodes 1 and 2. I don't think this is that important, but there's a major plot point that doesn't make any sense right now. And it's possible that it does make sense, but it just happened in the previous 2 episodes. A third thing, and this is pretty specific, but there's one voicing role that we can see who did the voices in English. With the credits are intact from the English version. There's one role that's going to be very emotional because of who's voicing it, and we're not going to have that effect by watching the Spanish dub. And that's if you think that's like a spoiler for something you may have seen, it's actually not what you think it is. It's something more minor. But it's just these episodes not having their full effect. So if you
I'm not gonna lie, when it got to that voice thing, like I watched it, I was like, I didn't recognize that voice, and then I realized it was in Spanish, and I felt
yeah, exactly.
Same. I did that. It's okay.
So I think just overall, if you can possibly avoid it, try to avoid the spoilers. Although I really don't think that their spoilers are that bad. Okay, now there's two voices. Now that we're discussing it on Sketch Out Away From Rebels. No, I don't think the person who's voicing a role, Gray Delisle is doing a voicer. That's not what I'm talking about. Gray Delisle, we knew Gray Delisle was doing some random voice, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that was the only name that I mean.
Yeah, no, it's a very minor role that I'm talking about. Yeah. But anyway, if you can avoid...
I say fight the power and watch the episodes.
Okay. It's certainly exciting. Like I said, they're really good, but...
Yeah, they're so good.
But it would be better to wait if you can.
No,
I just think you should watch, just if nothing else, you'll drive yourself absolutely insane.
That's what I mean by if you can. Certain people aren't going to be able to, you know. Like, now that they've heard, even if they've somehow avoided the news of this.
Like, honestly, the quality of the translations and of the episodes is not so bad that I would recommend missing it. Maybe I'm a bit biased because I understand some Spanish and I helped work on the subs and stuff, but I feel like it's not awful.
Also, like, the Spanish voices are so hilarious.
They are.
The Spanish dub is actually very good. Like, that's another thing.
It is quite good.
It's just really entertaining.
It's also fun.
Like, but I like personally,
Spanish, most of the translations weren't bad. It's just hearing it and knowing what they're saying in Spanish, trying to say it in English is kind of like Airbender translates to them to air controller is basically what it would translate.
I think
they say air master,
which it gets confusing. Like, when are they saying someone's a master?
Like
when
air
are they saying
control,
someone's
though,
a, yeah.
At one point.
Well, there's some translation things. I think the biggest one is the air master thing that people were talking about.
That sounds so metal.
It's hard to tell.
Air Masters.
But yeah, so I don't know. You guys can decide. These are high quality, but again, there's faults with watching it.
Well, can I add something real quick?
Yes.
Well, just I personally wasn't going to watch the episodes because I looked at a lot of screenshots and got summaries and a lot of lines that were in there. I only watched because I wanted. Like, honestly, because of, well, I can't say it because it's a spoiler, but Dylan knows why I watched, and because I got really, like, fangirly, and I was like, I have to, but, I really, you can just, I mean, if you really, really want to, I mean, obviously we can't stop you, but I mean, if you're kind of on the fence about it, I mean, hopefully now that this has happened, we'll actually get a release date, or it'll be soon-ish, since they said book three's done, right?
Yeah, they finished it last week, so it's done.
So, should be soon-ish.
Book three is completely done. Well, yeah, so Nick just, well, they're going to say something soon, so we'll see.
Direct to DVD.
Direct to DVD, it's awesome. That's another possibility. I forgot, the point I was trying to make before. The spoilers for the, there aren't really spoilers for these episodes. There's, like, I don't know. There's one thing that we shouldn't have been introduced to.
I mean, there's one
a,
pretty big spoiler.
There's one thing we shouldn't have been introduced to a character. We should have seen him before in episodes one and two. But I don't know. It's like, it's going to happen in the first two episodes. It's not that big of a spoiler, I don't think. I don't really.
Yeah.
There's no major plot points, really, I don't think.
I just see it as a spoiler.
There's only one.
There's one, though.
Yeah, there are a couple.
There's a few that I would say, oh.
And there's two.
There's like a there's a reveal, but it's not even that big. Okay. So anyway, that's going to be it for our non-spoiler. So at this point in the podcast, if you have not seen the episodes, you should stop listening. Not that I want to tell you to stop listening to the podcast, but it's necessary here. And we're going to get into spoiler territory. We're going to spoil episodes 3 to 6 and talk about them, talk about their quality. The thing I don't want to do right now is go into episode review for each one, because I don't think that's fair. I think we need to wait to see the actual dialogue and the actual voices. Because one other thing that should be noted is that Korra is recorded, their voices are recorded before the animation. So, like, the animation is actually made with the intent of the English voices, so it's more substantial than other shows to have the original voices in it. However big of an effect that is, I don't know. But anyway, again, spoiler warning, we're going to get into it right now. So, does everyone agree with me overall that these four episodes were four of the best of Korra?
Yes.
Sure. I felt emotion, yeah. And it was the good writing, and I was so happy. Like, I watched them all in a row, and I wasn't, like, dying of boredom or, like, trying to...
I was interested the entire time.
I think
even
what's so
completely out of context, it held my interest more than a lot of the other episodes did.
I think what's so interesting about why these are good is that a lot of what's going on in these episodes is not that exciting. Like revisiting Ba Sing Se and going through that exact same plot line is not that exciting.
Well, I feel like a lot of what it is that we're seeing, like, we're finally out of Republic City, and where were we the other time? Like the North Pole, like no one cares. And so now we're finally like, oh my god, I feel like it's just because we're revisiting a lot of what we haven't seen yet from Avatar.
But I also think they're pacing, they're using characters we actually care about.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, honestly, my only complaint for the entire thing was just that Lin seemed so over the top.
See, I actually liked the way Lin was handled.
Yeah.
Like, it was good, but it felt like it was almost comically over
the
top.
It was so tough, though.
I think with Lin,
it was very tough.
I think how Lin is portrayed in episode 6 specifically is going to be very dependent on Mindy Sterling's performance.
Yes.
So that's something I really want to wait on judging. Yeah. Because I think handling those lines differently makes a world of difference. Because as it is, she's very one note in specifically episode 6, and it gets a little tiring.
That is true.
But depending on the performance, it could be different.
Because the animation for, like, the way her facial expressions and just, like, the body language is very complex and sort of defeated, but I think...
Yeah, I think the biggest...
Her English voice actor will be really important.
We don't have much characterization for Lin anyway.
That's the thing, is that when you've got these characters who... You know, she's kind of been I don't want to say one-dimensional because she's not. But, you know, there's never really been any depth with her in the past two seasons. Was she even in the second season?
Barely.
And, you know, the risk you run when you've got characters like this who you've got an established sort of boundary with the way that their stories go is that, on the one hand, it could seem like, okay, you're learning more about the character, you're getting depth. Or it could seem completely out of character, and depends on the way you handle it.
I think that's the big thing, especially because this is the most Lin has spoken in both seasons, like, put together.
Because the context of her giving lines was always for the sake of moving plot along. She was always in the police
station. Or sarcastic things to Korra.
Or talking to Amon, or something like that. Yeah. Here, she's giving dialogue for the sake of her own story.
Yeah, this isn't just... police work, doing, like, detective the mystery crap that was all of season two, you know, if this is actual, hand, though, like, character.
Like, Asami got really shorted, at least in these four episodes.
Yep, definitely,
at least,
I agree.
At least she was there.
She was there, yeah, at least she was there.
She had, what, like, three lines, maybe?
Yeah, hey, let's be cool fair, fight Lynn, Asami actually has a full, like, character arc. Lynn's just been there, so I'm okay with sacrificing Asami for a little bit to have some Lynn.
Certainly,
hopefully Asami will come back.
Certainly a criticism of this new season is that there's too many characters they have now.
Yes, definitely,
and
I agree.
They have a Game of Thrones number of characters.
They have Skrillex.
With half the running time, and it's not working, I think.
Yeah, that really threw me off.
I think
I was like,
they could make it work.
They could, but
I mean,
the thing is that
have, like, cut it in half, because we're probably not going to see Tenzin or any of those characters who all left and went to the
right,
Northern
so that's my point. Jinora is only in two of these four episodes. Tenzin is only in two of the four. Asami only exists in really one of them.
Yeah,
she's
just in the background.
Kind of there. Mako barely exists in these episodes. Bolin gets a major arc, but he's Korra actually has very little screen time, I would say, past episode three. Kaya has one fight and does nothing the rest of the time. Pema isn't a character anymore. So it's like...
We haven't even seen Pema.
Seen Pema or Iki.
You know, Iki
no,
was there.
Iki,
was
Iki,
Pema... Was Pema in the background?
Than, like,
I don't know.
A few of the other characters.
Iki had one line.
I don't know
lines.
What Pema would be doing right now if she was in the shot. So I think it's good that she's kind of kept mentioned.
She
background.
Might just be like, caring for Rohan.
I think
point.
She was in the background. I'm not sure, though.
Like, she's mentioned as being around.
Yeah. So. Okay, so like they're introducing two new characters, and these are three, but one's more minor. And the characterizations are very good, and they have to spend a lot of time with them. Specifically, episode 5, I think, is a gem, and I think Mike wrote it and does a tremendous job establishing Sue, Jin, and Opal. And it's great, but at the same time, we also have to sacrifice any other characters doing anything.
Yes.
So
I think this episode, I think episode 5 is also a gem, but I think these, like, the three episodes that are faced, that are focused a lot on Toph and her sort of legacy, are very good for world building, which, surprisingly, Korra has not had done a very good job with world building so far. They do it, like, they focus and put time on it, but it's so boring.
I think this is a good point.
It comes out as, like, random background information that we don't need, but right now it's like working, like it's part of the story, it's part of the plot, it's part of the mythology.
And the whole, like, and was it episode 3 or 4? Well, I guess it's both, when they're in Ba Sing Se, like, that's another big part of the world building.
One reaction I definitely had was these four episodes are more of a realization of the potential we had going into a new series from Avatar than anything we've seen previously in Korra. It's
yes,
so interesting to see this new metal city and actually see, like, Toph's full descendant family, and we see both this new place, which makes total sense in this world, which connects to the past in terms of characters, and we also see Ba Sing Se, this place we saw in the old show, and we're seeing it updated and how it seems now, and it's done so much better than anything we've previously seen in Korra.
And they've also pretty much confirmed that we're going to see Toph later. Like,
yes.
She's left wandering around.
Not
confirmed
dead.
There is
not
no
dead.
Body, which means...
It's confirmed in terms of tropes. Like, they're
no
not going to kill her
alive.
Off now that they said she was.
She's in the statue.
They'll do something with her.
She is the statue.
She's
but
finding
statue?
Enlightenment in the statue. And one of her
she's hiding in Zuko's statue.
No, she's going to have her own life thing with Zuko because they're both just traveling.
Back to general points I want to bring up. I would say compare these... This is the biggest difference. Compare these four episodes to episode 205, Peacekeepers, of book 2.
I don't even remember.
Well, that's a good thing.
Sense.
That episode moved so fast through so many different plots and had such loose logic. And these episodes, we could have spent an episode for each, like, fourth of Peacekeepers, and we do in this season, not literally, but it just has so much more room to breathe. Think of the fact that these four episodes don't really have any major plot going on. It's
the old Avatar style of there's an overarching plot for the season, and it's just kind of, like, touched on in every episode, and each episode manages to have its own plot that's good and a little bit progresses the overall story.
We don't need to have dumb Unalaq stuff in the beginning of the season, right? We can just have the slow burn with the villains being set up. It works so much better here.
I love our villains. Like, those, like, four, like, evil bender dudes who need a cool name.
Their whole backstory
love them
thing,
so
though,
much.
Just,
they don't really have a backstory favorite part, at this like, point, yeah.
Five, well, I think my favorite name for them is the terrifying tetrad, just because it uses the word tetrad.
The difference between these villains and Unalaq. Unalaq is, like, is Unalaq evil was a major plot point in the beginning, even though he obviously was. And we figured out Unalaq's motivations early, and it never changed, and he was just this very dumb character throughout the entire season.
Yep.
Now these four villains, we know they're evil, but it's going to be interesting to see why they're doing what they're doing.
And they're just genuinely interesting characters. I'm kind of hoping, actually, like, we get some context of, like, what's been going on and, like, what sent them on this journey, but I actually don't want to know yet, like, their full story. Like, I'm hoping it builds up more, because they don't know yet. Like, in 4, they're like, I don't know. Or was it 4 something? And they're like, oh, we don't know why they're after you.
Yeah.
Oh, they want to kidnap the president. Maybe.
Yeah, that's
the
other thing, too. They randomly wanted to kidnap, which may be explained in the first couple episodes where, you know, the Avatar thing said.
I think that's explained in the
Avatar. Yeah, it says that. They wanted to kidnap the president.
Because apparently presidents can banish people from.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, so that's something.
She's done a great job of getting herself kicked out of there. She's banned from the two largest cities on the planet.
Yeah, so let's go over what happened in episodes 1 and 2.
Yeah, but Sam has a question first.
Yes, Sam.
I was just wondering how you guys felt how there's like a big bad, like a new big bad each season. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I think it didn't work in the previous two seasons, but I think it's good that we're resetting now.
Yes.
And they may carry over. Like, we don't know.
I think it's very likely
that
these two seasons carry
over. For all we know,
they
may have something to do with stuff that was going on in the first.
You should, yeah. Well, they could connect to previous stuff, but these two seasons got renewed at the same time. So they knew that they were doing a book 4 while they're making book 3. So it could very easily have carrying plot line.
I was hoping we wouldn't have like a big baddie this season, but now that I've seen them, I'm pretty okay with it. Like, I'm excited. I want to know what's going
on. Who even knows if
if
Zaheer is a big bad?
Like, maybe
he's voiced by Henry Rollins.
It seems like he is, but it could be misdirection.
I like hearing Kaya with that exchange in Spanish, and she's just like, Zaheer.
I know, right? That's the best.
Honestly, when we first saw Sue, I thought she was going to be a villain just because she was so nice. I was like, this is too...
Well, I had that reaction for Opal, but we'll get to that. First, I want to go over what happened in episodes 1 and 2. So Korra gets kicked out of Republic City. We see this in one of the previous Leons. I don't know. Korra. I think it's probably going to be like a why did you unleash spirits in our city? You're gone type of thing. Something about airbenders.
That's because she was Godzilla and like destroyed Republic City. I'd kick her out.
Oh, that could be that too. I don't know. Either way, advanced plot type thing happens. Something about airbenders. The big question to me about episodes 1 and 2 is how much is this airbending, randomly airbending thing popping up explained?
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. I'm like, I don't know if 2 episodes can, like, do
this. I think there's two options here.
I think is the harmonic convergence. They, like, restored the balance of...
Yeah, so we don't actually see that, but that seems to be the general consensus.
You wake up one day, I'm an airbender.
We had this big event last season, and that has consequences this season, theoretically.
Which, that'd be cool.
I don't think that's a satisfying explanation though. So I think one of two things has to happen. They have to either explain it really well in episodes 1 and 2, or this has to be a reveal at the end of the season.
Because you would think Aang would have like, because I know it's in a lot of fan fiction, people hope for it all the time, but you would have thought Aang would have tried to do something or find out a way, like, because there has to be a balance, because otherwise the Avatar eventually would cease to exist.
One theory I've seen that was interesting, I don't know if it's valid, is that Zaheer, the reason he's so good as an airbender and knows their culture so well is that Zaheer was artificially created as an airbender through energy bending by Aang as an experiment, kind of. And so that's how it keeps
so all very episode 3, Star Wars episode 3.
This seems kind of far-fetched, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I also have a far-fetched theory, but it would
be cool at the same time, kind of being a Deus Ex.
I'm just kind of worried about out there things with Korra, especially after season 2, where it was Godzilla. So, like, I'm just like, can we just keep things, like, as toned down as, like, in the Avatar universe as possible? Because, like, I do not want Godzilla again.
Also,
I mean, Godzilla was great once, and, like, Super Vatu was neat, but I don't need to go there again. We're good.
Thank you.
In episodes 1 and 2, we found Kai in the Earth Kingdom, which doesn't seem like it needs to have that big of a plot, big of a space in the first 2 episodes.
But the shipping.
Well, so did the shipping start in episode 2? That's the big question. Did Jinora X Kai, aka what did Janai. We decide? Janai. Yeah. We did. Okay. First of all, we're gonna claim the ship names. now. I don't know if we're the first, but Janai is Jinorin Kai, and Bopal is Bolin Bopal.
Those are precious.
So, just so you know.
Bopal just amuses me.
Bopal is like pretty a good name.
Yep.
Also, in episodes 1 and 2, Zuko is introduced again, and he's looking for fugitives, says it previously on. So
he's got a dragon.
We do see Zuko in 1 and 2 at some point.
Like, why dragon?
I guess that scene could be a big intro. I assume it
will. The translation for Zuko was easily like the single most difficult thing, because it was his in Spanish it was Senior Zuko. And how does that
Senior
like,
Zuko?
Like is well, the translate because it obviously isn't Mr. Zuko.
I think it's probably Mr. Fire
Lord. So is it just Lord Zuko or Prince Zuko again?
I mean, they translated it, they seemed to wanted to translate it to Lord Zuko, which is not the translation of Star Zuko.
Yeah, but Mr. Zuko just seems
dumb. Yeah, I think we'll see. I think it's Mr. Zuko.
Would have been a better translation.
It's a funny though, Senor Zuko.
Well, there's
I think like Lord or Prince are your two only like best guesses.
You've got Don or like I don't know the Spanish word for prince.
There's these titles are the biggest thing with these translations, I think, actually, because the big story contingent translation thing is what it means when they say Jefe Sokka. So is Sokka chief of the Southern Water Tribe? Because we didn't know
or
that
was
previously.
Presumably,
he was. Because
that's what you think that means, yeah.
So Hefe's boss, like what else would he be boss of?
Well, it could be, yeah, so it could be, someone said it could be councilman, but I don't think that would be what they
would
translate.
Well, actually, we know he is because he was present in proceedings in Republic City representing the Water Tribes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we ever
they referred to him as Councilman Sokka, but I don't think I.
Yeah, I think
like,
this is probably
during that
chief.
Time period. He wouldn't have been councilman, and that was probably during the building of Republic City or right after Republic City's building was complete. So it probably was Chief Sokka. Of course, this is speculation at this point because it's Spanish and we don't know for a fact.
It's Spanish. Yes, it is Spanish. I think it's probably Chief Sokka. More on that.
That's
later.
What I think it is.
More on that later. And then also spirit stuff happens in episodes 1 and 2. Now, I think this is one of the major criticisms you can levy at these four episodes is that we only see the consequences of the big thing that happened at the end of last season once. There's only one scene which shows spirits going around the world. Which
good
is
news,
where the villains are hiding out. Yes, Sam?
I got Senor Zuko on Tumblr.
Wait, really? That wasn't taken?
No.
Did you get it all one word? Did you have to put dashes or something in?
No, all one word.
Wow.
That's really
did you get the NEA, though?
I couldn't put the tilde in.
Oh, okay.
It said it can't have any symbols.
Wow,
that's very ethnocentric of them.
This is the next big Tumblr account. Okay, anyway. There's only one scene which spirits are in, which is the hideout scene in, what, like episode 5 or 6?
That to say, okay, just like, in case I'm silly again, is that the same like bunker that what's his face, Juan hid out in with like the tree man because it looked really similar. Is it supposed to be like representative or like supposed to look similar, or is it just?
I don't know. It might supposed to be evocative, but I think it's just somewhere.
It could have just been subtle, like the whole Zuko alone thing, and then all of a sudden that was a battle.
Yeah, that's true. They did have precedent. With doing this,
because there's no way one treehouse is going to live for like 10,000 years. That's...
Obviously not, but like, is it supposed to be like invocative? Like,
yeah, it's
we
possible.
Supposed to make the connection.
I'd prefer to see it in HD before comparing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we're gonna have that reaction to. But yeah, so I think the thing I need to see from episodes 1 and 2 is spirits a lot of spirits, but no, just that plot point handled. That's the biggest thing for me. You can't ignore that.
And the whole the past live thing, which I am still so unbelievably angry about.
I don't think they're going to address that.
Like, well, they have to like mention it, kind of.
I don't think so.
How does the Avatar state work if she doesn't have past lives?
Exactly.
She is the past life.
I don't think she'll be going in the Avatar state.
She's because there have been several situations where she should have gone Avatar state and she hasn't, so I think she can't.
Well, didn't Juan... Well, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what the Avatar state is as a baseline when it comes down to what it was before there were
like,
Avatars.
Like, if she cut off her past lives, is she still connected to
we're in uncharted territory
here. Like, the whole reason the Avatar exists?
We need to have this addressed, but I think it might not be addressed until,
I at
like,
least
the
want Tenzin, like, berating her for, like, it happening. Like, that's really what I want.
I don't...
Because especially, like, when they were confronting the Dai Li, obvious moment for Avatar state didn't happen.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree.
Which, can we talk about how the Dai Li are so attached to their outfits? They haven't changed.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, despite being, you know, disbanded, they've managed to come back without anyone throwing up a fuss. Like,
in the same exact outfit.
What do you guys think of just the way they present Ba Sing Se in general?
I think some stuff was good and some stuff was meh.
I mean, nothing's really changed.
Like, nothing has changed, and the Earth Queen was disappointing.
Well, the biggest difference is that the Queen slash King has all the power now, which is completely opposite of what it was.
Like, the slums got slummier, and the middle class stayed kind of the same, and everything else.
I told this to Dylan. The big shocker of the middle class episodes is that Quay had a kid. Let's be honest.
Yeah, so the Earth Queen is Quay's child, which...
Because wasn't the assumption it was one of his... Because it was said he had sisters, but not that he had children.
Yeah, so this is big news. Who did Quay reproduce with?
It was tough.
She's just populating the earth.
We'll get to Toph definitely. But it's interesting that the Dai Li are still the Dai Li. I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like Aang would have changed.
I was so shocked. Well, why are the Dai Li here? Dai, didn't he?
I don't know. We're in post Avatar territory. All the way in
Republic City. This is Ba Sing Se.
On the note of Ba Sing Se, I do like the fact that Ba Sing Se got worse.
Yes.
I mean, I think the trajectory of that was good, just because I don't think the Earth King was, even with the knowledge, I don't think he was going to be an effective ruler to fix anything. So I think it makes sense, and I think it's interesting, but I also think that's all we're going to see of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
By wandering off on a bear, he didn't solve problems? What a surprise.
What do we think of treating Ba Sing Se as only a 2-episode arc? I think that's interesting. Like,
I feel like it's coming back, because like, she pretty much declared war on Korra, so...
Yeah, that's going to come back.
I could see that being either toward the end of this season or even book 4.
She's still kicking around in the Earth Kingdom, too, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I think it's just... certainly they'll revisit this at some point. It might not be the season, I agree. I think they can have the luxury of delaying things till book 4 here.
Like, I could see it being kind of like tying into like a repeat of... was it The Search? That whole concern?
Oh, God, no. Let's not have that.
No, I just meant war.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I don't know. Let's not relate to the...
I hope we see Omashu again, because I want to see Omashu.
I do think the topic
so
of kidnapping the airbenders, kind of a personal army, was also very interesting. I mean, because I was talking to Allie about it, because on the first, you know, she was like, I don't know if that makes sense, but I was like, well, you've got this entire army of people that other people don't have.
Like, I think that's a very Dai Li-y reaction to airbenders.
Yeah, because she had an obvious option to make it just upfront conscription, like Bumi suggested, and that would have been perfectly within the Earth Queen's right, but instead it was like kidnapping with a Dai Li, and that's
it had to be secret, because...
Yeah,
like,
it's immediately evil.
I have a question.
Yes.
What was she planning to do with them? Like, you don't just decide to randomly conscript and, like, kidnap airbenders with, like, no battle strategy.
Yeah, the explanation was, like, an elite guard unit, so it probably would have been, like, her personal, like, espionage or something like that.
They're definitely trying to train them.
Weren't enough.
Which is what happens in episode, 3 or 4? 4. That they're training them.
Like, they do say that, like, you're gonna guard her with your life, but then it's like, she has the Dai Li. I don't think the Dai Li would be happy about, like, a bunch of airbenders showing up and being like, go away, we don't want you anymore. Instead, we're gonna have the airbender Dai Li. But then it's like...
Well, there are also, what, like, 8 of them, so I don't think the Dai Li were too threatened.
Is there ever given an explanation why she wanted it? Like, if she wants this as her personal guard, like, was there...
No, there's not.
Is it more complex?
There wasn't paranoia,
like,
there wasn't, like, assassination.
I think that works on its own. I think... It's fine.
Yeah, she's shown to show, like, impulsive and crazy and over the top. And I think that's just kind of the explanation we're hoping to draw, is that she just wants it because she wants it.
Yeah, no, I think it's very, there's very little explanation there.
It could have just been an open, like, you know, obviously people are going to come looking for them and I want them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think that's that too. With the Ba Sing Se 2-episode arc, I think the biggest thing to me to talk about is how uninteresting a lot of these plot threads were for me. Kai being a pickpocket, I think that's just a very stereotypical way to go with this character, with a character like that. I also think it's interesting that they have literally had a character on the show that's exactly him, which was Scoochie in episode 3 of the book 1. So
Scoochie was just replaced.
It's like they think that that's the only kind of character that Mako and Bolin can relate to.
It's like that, and it's also like there's no other types of young boys, right? Because they actually don't have any other...
Nope. Everyone's a pickpocket.
I guess they have to make sure that the characters have no other attachments, like they don't have the family or whatever, and so the only really option you have is street urchin.
Yeah, so they have so that to me, I don't think that plot was interesting in episode 3. I think it was done well and I think it works, but I don't think it was interesting.
That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, the earth.
Well, the question I have then is: Kai going to be more than just introducing us to this plot in Bossing Se?
Yes.
As well,
or is he going to be a full fledged character? Is he going to do things?
Is he
going to
be what we hoped Scoochie was going to be, or are they just going to abandon him as well?
I think he's coming back.
I think he's a secondary character. It certainly seems like he's a Bumi Kaya level character, mm-hmm. right? There's
Did
the
he
main
go
four,
with
and then
to the Northern Air Temple.
Yes, he went with Jinora.
So maybe if they go back to that, which
they
I
certainly will.
They
yes, yeah, we'll see.
Probably not for a few episodes.
They're not. They can't. Regardless of Tenzin or Kai, they can't ignore Jinora again, right? She's basically a major character.
Well, I feel about it is that. Sorry.
I'm preemptively upset about the Airbenders because we know we're going to see them later in the season, and they're suddenly going to be great. And it won't make any sense.
That always happens in Korra, though. That's literally every time we see someone.
But I'm hoping they do show more of the Northern Air Temple. And it seems to me that they're building Kai up to be a leader of the Airbenders.
I think it could go in that direction. I think he could just be a simple love interest for Jinora.
He seems to be the most skilled.
Mm-hmm. Certainly that's what the episode says. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. They were leaning towards.
I think that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, they might be leading into him, like, butting heads with Tenzin or the other kids.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. And other plot lines in the Bossing Se arc that didn't interest me were the Earth Queen being bossy and also her being allergic to animals. I just thought that
literally every animal. Like, she's allergic to everything.
Which is kind of a funny concept, but that whole characterization of that character is very unsympathetic.
She should not have been silly. Like, I was expecting her to be terrifying, and I was like, you're dumb.
Yeah, because
she had legitimate complaints that were debased by her stupid characterization.
Yep.
The plot point, too, is also very sort of mature. If you look at it, basically they're turning airbending into a commodity. It's kind of very interesting to look at, and then you've got the character behind this sort of deep, interesting looking plot who's sneezing and
she's
screaming
actually
and
Quay
whining.
In the other direction.
Yeah.
Like, Quay was such a ridiculous character, and I do think it's funny that they made her allergic to all animals because of Bosco, but
yeah.
Like, they just remade Quay and then just threw her on the other end of the spectrum of just crazy and, of evil. Like, that's what they did.
I think this plotline's perfect for my, the perfect example of my, these plotlines aren't interesting, but they make them work because I think the payoff at the end of episode 4 of her, sneezing at Appa, not, it's not Appa, Oogie's fur falling.
Yeah.
I think that was perfect and really well executed. And it was just genuinely funny. But
it was very reminiscent of Avatar and how.
Yeah, and reminiscent of Avatar too. It was just perfect on every level. That
with Avatar, like, it was a lot of dumb jokes, but they still made you laugh.
But you have to remember, okay? With these episodes, we had with the Bossing Se episodes, and originally in season 2, we had, what's his face, the head of the Dai Li and like the head of state, who was the scary villain, and then we had the ridiculous Quay. But we don't really have anybody particularly frightening. As a, like an intellectual villain,
this woman
is the most powerful. One of the most powerful people on Earth. She is the queen of probably
Earth.
The majority of the Earth Kingdom, and she's cray cray, and she really isn't all that scary. Like taking her down doesn't.
I didn't.
That much
oh, first of all, I didn't get the impression she was crazy. I thought
I got.
Quay
she
seemed like a whiny
eccentric
little brat
and irate.
I think she was.
That?
I think she was very in the moment. Like I thought she knew what was going on, but she was just
I
being
think
dumb on purpose.
Quay worked though because once she got over his ignorance to everything that was going on, which was, part of the plot, then he wasn't that ridiculous of a character. She's a cartoon character, basically.
Yeah.
She's one-dimensional and
it certainly is a valid point that this is just a 2-episode arc, so we don't have to have a major villain here.
And I think they're highlighting, kind of what they're going to. And I just read the Rift, so I've kind of, I've been thinking about it a lot, is that trying to go in toward the tradition versus where the world's going right now, and so they made her this ridiculous to be like, we need to stop this, we need to get rid of her, and then kind of going on, what, Sue going off, and then Mako and Bolin's family in the lower sector, and then what their grandmother did. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, I feel like it seems like they're developing, a reason, for the audience to want this to return and to set it up as an issue that will hopefully be solved.
Yeah, no, I think they're setting up for a turn.
Except her primary issue is a legitimate one, that, her land was stolen from her because of the Fire Nation creating colonies there, and she lost it for no good reason.
I think they presented that legitimately enough that the rest of her character didn't degrade the point. Like, I think the fact that you got that impression that it was a legitimate point, I think shows that they succeeded enough in...
It wasn't a complete failure. Her character is not a complete failure. I'm not trying to say that. There was more, I think, they should have put into it, even if it's just two episodes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think more examples of that uninteresting plot points, good execution. Kai getting captured and him having to train in catacombs, I didn't think that was a particularly interesting plot point, but I think they executed on it well enough.
Well, it was just so... both of those episodes were just so reminiscent of them... of when the gang were in Ba Sing Se and, you know, going through with Lake Lao guy and all that nonsense. Like, they were so similar, especially how they handled Quay and the Dai Li, because the Dai Li are just always going to be evil, just how it is.
I do think it's an interesting point that this is very much a do-over. Like, this is more of a direct connection. This is what we're doing. We're doing it again than anything else in Korra in terms of connecting the Avatar.
I mean, they were being, like, obvious about it. Like, oh, well, let's go to Lake Lao guy.
Which I think is a perfectly legitimate way to do this. Like, I think that's fine. And I applaud them for not shying away from it. Another plot point in this two-episode arc. There can't be that many. Mako and Bolin finding their family. I personally did not connect to that plotline that much. I didn't really care. I know
they just didn't make you. They didn't make you care, aside from Mako giving his scarf, and still that was
I think they... I don't care about Mako and Bolin. Past their family, but Mako in general. But I think they executed on it well at the end with the conversation with Yin and just Bolin connecting and to the size of the family and stuff like that. I think it was fine.
Like, I enjoyed it. It was just like, I just felt like really rushed. And of course,
it did feel quite rushed. But I did like the scenes with the grandmother. Those were good.
Also,
scenes.
The fact that she wasn't Jin made me 10% less interested.
Yeah. So
when I
clarification,
found out that I was lied to.
She is Y-I-N, not J-I-N.
Yeah,
it's in the credits.
Because in Spanish, the confusion was that in Spanish the J is pronounced as a Y.
Yeah, but it is in the credits as Y-I-N.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that covers all the Ba Sing Se plans except for the best one, which is Jinora and Kai. And
So cute.
She runs and he gives him a hug when they rescue him, and he's like a face.
Yeah, that's
and then Bolin's like, Tenzin will be so mad.
I did appreciate Bolin's line. That was a pretty good addition.
I kind of have two reactions to Jinora getting a love interest. One is, oh my god, that's adorable. Why? Thank, finally. Two is, of course, they need to give the female character a love interest eventually.
Yep, that's exactly how I feel about it.
But at the same time, then I thought, you know what? Literally everyone has a love interest in Korra.
Yeah.
Like, literally every character.
Yeah, I mean, it's Avatar. Everyone ever has a love interest.
It's true.
At the same time, Jinora is 10, so, you know, like, she doesn't need a love interest. I think that's kind of... but it's adorable, and they're handling it well.
They can't resist doing that kind of
resist.
Little kid thing.
They can't.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially
like,
when they
I'm surprised they didn't
like
do it earlier. I don't know how they lasted until book three with giving Jinora's. I thought they would bring in Scoochie in book one. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen. But either way, I think they're executing really well, and it's just completely adorable.
It's very cute.
Okay. What else do I have? Big plot threads. I think that was a good... okay, now there's one more thing I want to talk about in this. A few more things in these two episodes. Jinora's astral projection. I think the most interesting thing about this is that at this point, this doesn't seem like a deus ex machina. This doesn't seem far-fetched, which is ridiculous.
I mean, we saw her do it before, and she
said
it's weird.
The fact that this is an established part of the show, how insane is that? That, of course she can do that. Well, it's not that it's even starting to make sense. It's like, oh, well, yeah, that happened before. More ridiculous things than this have happened spiritually.
I mean, it's one thing that the Avatar can go into the spirit world, but that she can, like, be a spirit and then unspirit into the... It's weird.
It doesn't make sense with the Avatar canon. I don't think it's well explained, but I think in terms of level of what you can accept, there's a phrase of this I'm not thinking of, but... level of the
suspension of disbelief.
Suspension of disbelief, exactly. I think this is completely within my suspension of disbelief at this point in Korra.
It didn't even look that weird. She was just meditating.
The flickering freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, that
bit,
was
I'll
that was
honest.
A little weird. It was like
she was
why
a ghost.
Is it being awkward?
She was a ghost. It was so cool.
I think they animated
like the
it really
digitizing,
cool.
Digitizing like Scooby Doo and the Cyber Chase looking crap with like digitizing it.
I think
it just freaked me out. I was like, what?
Especially when she's, like, underwater and she's, like, floating around in Lake Laogai. It was, like, some horror movie stuff.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that looked like they were trying to go for some horror movie thing.
I think it looked cool, and they haven't used it ridiculously yet, so I think it's fine for now.
I would appreciate it if it looked more of, like, a flickering candlelight thing as opposed to, like, digitizing. Granted, that could have just been the low quality of the
video. Well, the music, or, like, the sound effect for it made it seem really, like, digital too.
Yeah, that was interesting, the sound they chose. The other major thing we haven't talked about from these two episodes is the entire Pilei, her imprisonment.
Pilei.
Yeah,
it's P'Li.
Yeah. This is not Great Lyle's character. Great Lyle's character is Minghua, the waterbender. Just her entire first of all, the twins are back. Which I'm very happy with.
Yes.
I didn't necessarily know if they'd be bringing them back. I think we settled on no, they weren't coming back.
Yeah, we were like, we're done.
Yeah, the reminiscing on attempting to kill the Avatar was great.
That was hilarious.
That was a very good scene. I think that's also going to be better in English.
And it was so great because Tonrock was there and was like, can we not talk about this right now?
just casually mentioning like, killing
the The timing on Zuko's line.
I destroyed my wedding, so I tried to kill her. It happens.
You know what? This is very reminiscent of my girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy. Just the comedic timing on that.
Yeah.
And the like two characters who are relating in some things that we've seen. Yeah, it's pretty great.
And I also appreciate relating that they were in an elevator.
Yeah.
It was just great. Like, what more could you ask for?
How do you think the twins should be used? It doesn't seem like they're going away from the Northern Water Tribe. This might be the last time we see them all season.
I just want them to continue to be ridiculous because that's really all they were. I mean, what else can you really do with them?
I want more combat scenes with them just because they were good right up.
They were very good. They were in their
one fight scene.
This also goes to my point. There's so many characters. They brought back all the characters they introduced from last season. That's kind of insane. They didn't write anyone off except Unalaq.
And we're still working on, 13-14 episode seasons?
13 episodes each.
And it's like, there's so many people! I got so flipped out when I watched the first episode, and I was like, why are all these people here?
But
like, it's crazy.
All the people do things, so that's good. Like, what do the twins do other than be silly?
I'm just so used to, like, there being, like, four or five people, and they're just traveling, but then, like, this, it's like, what? Can we not?
How about the fight scene, above the prison in the Northern.
The fight scenes in these episodes are insane, and I love them.
I think that's a major point to make. The fight scenes seem like an improvement on Book 2.
Yes,
and I don't understand why, because it's the same exact people, except for Melkor's wire, who is...
Because there's no director. Studio Puro with Korra running with her arms behind her.
I think that's probably true. I think Melzweier, it could have improved the action, because he was a director on Young Justice, and that show had incredible... fight scenes.
Yes, it did. I think that is a big thing.
I think it's possible.
They're not as like over the top. Like the scenes with in the prison were my absolute favorite. When she's like the girl with no arms. I don't remember her name. The waterbender Minghua. Those were some of my favorite. And she basically just takes everyone down, but it's not like ridiculous. You don't have like these giant like water blasts.
Like,
and it's actually believable
direct.
That they would. Get out of the prison.
Melzweier directed episode 4. Was that the one with this fight that we're talking about?
I think so.
It's
in the ice prison.
It's just not so showy. That's what I like about it. Like, it's so direct. They're actually trying to, like, defeat each other, and it's not, look at all these awesome things I can do.
Yes, that is exactly
what it felt like.
It was pretty great. This and the fight in episode 5 that we're going to talk about
is... I have no idea. They all kind of blur together for me.
Oh, wait, trailer's out, guys.
No, that wasn't like a bad thing.
Wait, no, stop. Big the news, the trailer's out is with
Coronation.
Oh.
Okay, so I think we're going to get to watch this and then talk about it live.
Oh. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Do I need to pull something up or are you like linking it?
Well, for now, we're going to...
It's on the Coronation Tumblr.
Yeah.
Okay,
embed it. It's a link elsewhere.
It's a link, yeah. That's dumb. We're going to keep talking about the episodes and then we're going to do the trailer later. And I'll like paste that to the beginning, I think. Anyway, I'm also not editing this part out. Okay, now I am gonna edit it because that ad didn't go away.
Hold on, I have to get upstairs. I can't watch it on my phone.
Well, I don't think we're doing it right now, we're doing it later.
No, we're not doing it right now.
So do we want to move to discussion about
the Metal City.
Yeah, sorry, I'm regrouping. Okay. So is there? The scenes were fine. I think it was very low key, very little dialogue and stuff in the prison stuff in the Northern Water Tribe. But I think it works. Basically.
The whole explanation for their imprisonments was really bad, though. Like, from what I understand, she had her arms cut off so that she couldn't waterbend, and that's just weird.
I don't know if they did. They say that?
I didn't get that.
I think that was in one of the. It was. I don't know. It was somewhere. It may have just been a speculation thing, but I saw it.
I would wait until.
What'd you say? Like, what? A waterbender couldn't waterbend, or what?
The Mingwa person, like, with the no arms, she had the water arms. What I kept seeing repeated was that she had no arms because they were removed, so she couldn't waterbend. I don't know if that was truth or if that was just speculation that was repeated so much it became fact in a lot of people's minds.
I think it's just speculation. They don't have the death penalty, and so far we haven't seen anybody lose limbs for...
I think we need to wait until...
bending.
I think we
but
need
to... seriously, did you see those prisons? I think if anybody can speculate having a death penalty, it might be the Avatar world. That thing was huge.
I called it Azkaban. It's Glacier Azkaban.
It is Glacier Azkaban. Yeah.
It reaches a point where, you know, they... Like, the death penalty makes more sense.
I think, ignoring that, because, you know, but,
as far as
Avatar goes, like, it would almost seem like they would just go for that, except they won't, because it's a kid's show.
Well, we don't even know, we don't really know what they, we need the backstory on them, you know, but yeah, they definitely went to the extremes of this imprisonment. It seems a little ridiculous. I think it's really cool, though.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It is
a cool concept. It's like Boiling Rock, but in the other direction.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, moving on to episodes 5 and 6, because now we have a whole other thing to get to, which you guys have already listened to, so I don't really understand what's going on. But we haven't recorded the part that you've already listened to yet. So, episode 5. I think episode 5 is the gem of these four.
Yes, 5 and 6.
I think 6 is somewhat disappointing, but I think... The characterization in episode 5 is something I never thought I'd see again from Avatar Korra.
So good.
This episode's written by Mike, too, which is crazy. Sam, you have to go. Do you want to say goodbye?
No.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Seamless goodbye. Don't edit this out. Goodbye.
Bye. See, what did you say? I don't know.
Seamless goodbye.
Seamless goodbye. Okay, no, it's not editing it.
I was never here.
I'm astounded by how well Mike introduced Opal and Sue in one episode. I think those characters are great. I think they're interesting. And I think it's just crazy how good episode 5 is.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah. There's not that many specifics to talk about from this episode. Did episode 5 have the fight scene, or is that 6? I think it was 5.
Kaya and
Zahir.
That was five.
That was incredible, that scene. I love that. I think everything with the Zahir integrating into the Air Temple Island was fine. And I think just the rest of it was great. Everything in, what's the name of the city, by the way? I can't remember.
They call it the home of the metal clan.
Yeah, but there's actual name, like an
name. I don't remember hearing a name.
It's something.
No, wait, it's Sao something.
Sao Fu. There you go. Yeah, I think it's Sao Fu. Anyway, so let's talk specifics, I guess. Su Jin
is my hero.
So the most notable thing about this character, I think, is how much of a gender subversion she is compared to traditional gender roles. She is completely the head of the household, the clan, and the entire city.
She founded it, she's done everything.
And as Britt pointed out when we were talking about this, and yet she's still, and she has not necessarily submissive, but like a not in charge husband, and they still have a great relationship.
I don't know if the
creative mind dude is like her husband, and she has all these kids. She's my hero.
She seems great. I think the way they portray it with that one scene of, oh, that's fine, honey. You don't need to be hero for dinner. I think it was like supposed to stand for a good relationship, you know, even though they didn't show that much about it. But I think it's her character. If you could say anything about her, is that she's too much of like a Mary Sue. I think it's corrected. I think it's corrected next episode.
that's what I was going to say.
It's almost less special.
coming from her family. Like, it's Toph and Lin are her relatives. Like, it makes it almost less unique. Like, it's still really good that, you know, it's kind of getting outside the norm, but that it's a child of Toph makes it
But it's actually even out of the norm for someone who would, like, what you'd expect from the child of Toph. Like, that's the great part. Like, she's the mother that Toph never was or never could be.
True. But, I mean, as far as, like, Toph kind of went outside of what was expected of her.
Mm-hmm. We don't get much of the backstory here. We just get introduced. I guess it's supposed to be a big reveal. It's like, oh, I'm Lin's sister.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they're necessarily planning this, although they never said Lin was an only child, right?
I mean, like...
I think it was just something you assumed.
The scar, though. Like, yeah. They had... I wonder if they had that prepared.
I doubt it.
Put this in there and...
I'm certain that when they're doing your character model, they did not plan out the story beforehand.
No, but it worked.
And honestly, I think it was pretty obvious that what caused the scar would have been the wires, but yeah, that could have been anybody. Like, it could have been from anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. It could have been any fight ever. They mm-hmm. could have given you something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think...
They could have done that later.
Specifically in episode 5, Opal's character. I think what's so interesting about Opal is that she is this type of character that is immediately suspicious. She is the extremely sweet, cute girl. Like,
yep,
she's me.
Okay. No, Britt actually means something here. The weird thing about Opal is that Britt's online screen name is Opal or Opal. So it's like the exact same thing, and like they actually like look similar. And
try and get royalties from Nick.
I don't know how they know who Britt is, but Mike and Brian obviously based this off.
They did
Britt.
It. They
like
did
the
it.
Day this came out, I went and got a haircut because I had been working all day, and I came home and we had the same haircut. Like, if I was Asian, she would be me. It's kind of creepy. Anyways, back to things that matter.
Yeah. Well, you matter right now. I know. Opal. Her character. What's great about her characterization is. Right away, it's like, okay, she's love interest for Bolin from literally her introduction. But right away she seems like this this archetype of sweet girl, but then she actually, almost immediately the next major scene she's in, gets, like, interesting characterization.
Yeah.
With, like, her telling Bolin to, like, stop being fake and her realizing it right away.
That was, like, I loved that part.
Yeah,
yes!
That was great. She's like, Bolin, cut it out.
It was very interesting, and then again she gets interesting characterization with her whole conflict of going to the Northern Air Temple thing. She's on screen for a brief period of time, but she's a very established character by the end of episode 5.
Yeah, well cut out, especially what we're used to characterizations, even when we have a whole season with a character.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the one thing with Sue that was weird, was that she was just immediately like, no, you're not going. And then like, I understand why there was an immediate change, but for how firm she was about it to begin with, I was surprised a little that she gave in.
It seemed we could have used one more scene about that, I think.
Well, I think it sounded more like, and of course they didn't really touch upon it except at the end of season 6, is that season episode 6. Ooh, season 6, that'd be nice, but no, episode 6. Talking about, you know, she was happy that she was honest with her, so it's kind of more like, it sounds more like she just assumed that she didn't want to go.
Yeah, like she's been pretty timid. Awesome. I mean, Opal's her youngest child, right? It's like her baby girl, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, Sue is pretty, you know, permissive. Like, it makes sense that she was like, oh, well, that's what she wanted to do, so, you know, go do it.
And if she didn't say anything about it, she just assumed that that's what Opal wanted.
True, I hadn't thought about that.
I think, losing my train of thought, we have not yet recorded the thing you've already listened to, and I'm trying to prepare for that. I think that Opal is a character who I expect to go in one of a set few ways, but I expect her to do something that she's not right now. Like, I think it's very clear that she's going somewhere. And the first thing you think of, at least for me, is, oh, she's a villain. Like, the sweet girl is that archetype, easily goes into the villain, like, as the surprise villain.
I wouldn't say that. It's going to end poorly for Bolin. Like,
yeah,
that's just confirmed already. For Bolin.
I don't really think of that in terms of Bolin. I just think of where her character's going. I think, oh, she's secretly been a villain all along. But then I think they preclude that based on her backstory. The fact that she's just been in the Metal City her entire life, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't really see, like, well, what intrigued me really about her character was that, oh, Avatar, you're kind of cool. Oh my god, it's my Aunt Lynn. I love you. Please accept me. I want, like, that's what I loved about her character so much.
Mm-hmm. She's very family oriented.
That was the best part to me, honestly. Because I'm so, like, I get so tired of, like, Avatar. It's like, no one cares about Korra. Go away.
Now, honestly, like, the most likely, I think, is she's going to go up to the Air Temple, train for a while, get good, and then join the Korra's gang.
Yeah, probably.
So
I'd be okay with that.
So, or even go and live in Republic City with her aunt.
I was talking about this with Britt earlier. I think there's, like, one of, like, three directions this character go in. One is the villain direction, but I think that's less likely. Two, and then it's a choice between, is she an Asami or is she a Suki?
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, both are really incredible really great female characters, and they fall into the quote-unquote strong female character archetype. Asami, however, is interesting and, like, has flaws, but is still awesome. Suki, on the other hand, has no flaws and is not interesting. So I think it's like, which one will they take, Opal?
Well, I even think there's a fourth option where we just never see her again, which is the option we don't want, but it's still an option.
Of note is that, well, no, I think she'll be a major character.
I mean, I hope so. Well, I'm just
it
not
seems
sure.
Like, Toph would be the obvious comparison, like, kind of sheltered young girl, like, mommy's little girl in this case, and, like, she's kind of the youngest child, and she's kind of looked after the most, goes off and just becomes amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
It's hard to say what's going to happen with anything. These four episodes just kind of end abruptly, and we don't even leave the city we're in, so it's kind of hard to tell where we're going.
Yeah.
Do
we even know where they're going next?
No.
No, they haven't even said anything about it.
The villains are coming to them. That's the only thing we know.
Yes.
At the end, the very end of episode 6, he says they're in the, where they're with the Metal Clan. Was out here says. Other things of note is, so we haven't really discussed episode 6, the backstory between, we kind of did, between Sue and Lynn. I wanted this to be really good, and I think it's just good.
Yes,
if that makes
that's
sense.
How I felt about it.
Yes.
I think it's good enough, and I think it could get better in English. Because one, Jesse Flower is voicing young Sue, she is the voice actress for Toph, and I think that can be a really emotional,
yes.
Use of past,
especially with the people. Attitude and, like, how the character acts at that stage.
It's gonna
probably
be so
a better reuse of voice actors than Dante Bosco too.
Definitely yes, and because Jesse Flower is actually Sue's age, like,
yeah,
you know, so that would work. I also just think the dialogue. This is very dialogue heavy flashbacks, and I think the clunky translation back to translation thing could be affected here. Yeah. So I'm withholding judgment, but it's just not as good as I want to think it is. I think it's underwritten is what it seems
yes.
like to me.
Well, the biggest thing that, well, especially like since the, now I feel like this is kind of like, this is what they keep doing when we have flashbacks to the old gang. Like, that's how it was with the whole Korra, like, journey stuff. And then now that's how it is with, like, Lynn. But of course that made sense. She was sick and it was like acupuncture and stuff. But I don't know. My biggest issue, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. My biggest issue, honestly, was Toph covering everything up. Like, I just felt like that wouldn't be something she would have done, but then it kind of made sense. But then it fits with Toph's impulsiveness and, like, her, like, the way she, like, decides things and then does them. So did anyone else have an issue with that? Like, bugged me.
It seems kind of weird because her letting her kid off doesn't necessarily seem outside the realm of things for Toph to do, but then her resigning her position because of, like, political guilt doesn't seem... That seemed less like a Toph thing to me, honestly.
Well, her resigning like that made more sense to me after doing that, but I just wouldn't have agreed with her doing that. Like, I didn't see that.
I kind of saw it the other way around, because, like, letting her kid off seemed kind of like the impulsive, like, oh, well, this is, like, a quick fix, and then, like, wait, maybe I shouldn't have.
You can't throw family in jail, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that seems like she would look out for a family.
Then I would
like
have
that.
Seen Toph would have been more like, no nonsense. Like, yeah, you're going to sit in there for a little bit.
I don't know how much any of Toph's stuff makes sense. Like, her becoming just the chief of police in general, like, kind of contradicting character.
I mean,
so.
We also have to think about when we see Toph last, she is 12 years old.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
no,
like,
I
agree.
I think
for some of the other characters, they're a little bit older and they do have more established, but when we last see Toph, she is 13.
Yeah, she's had, what, 6 months away from her
family. And we don't know
family.
What she's gone through, aside from the Metal Bending Academy, and, like, we don't know anything else about her.
We don't know. And about
there could have been some event that like really radically changed the course of her life. We don't know.
I mean, she's not with either of the fathers of her children. That's yep. Which is fine. Not like saying that's like a.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
But to have children with a man and then raise them by yourself while doing a job, that's very stressful.
And a very extremely, like, she has no one to turn to with this job. Like, she is the chief of police.
Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, Toph having the two children from different fathers. This is, I feel like, the most in-character thing that we've seen of Toph's past.
Yes, definitely. I completely agree.
Very in-character. Like,
it's so in-character.
It's very, it would seem uncharacteristic for Toph to, like, fall in love and settle down.
Or like, for her to be married, or like
or
have
just
a husband.
Be married. Yeah,
or like,
I agree.
Or a steady
I could see her being in a relationship with a single person, but I could not see her getting married.
I also just love that they did this. Like, this is such a thing that people inherently will criticize females for, and it's like pretty feminist that they're having this in a children's show. That they're like portraying it in like a not judgy way.
And then the way they turn it as Toph did this to combat how her childhood was.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if they spend enough time on that, but yeah.
Well, I mean, they mention it, and I feel like since, I mean, we know how much Toph fought against. I mean, that was the whole reason she joined the gang. And so, so I just feel like I really enjoyed that part. And then them talking about how Toph gave them freedom and just.
Like, I don't know if they necessarily talk about how kind of bad that turned out for both of her kids, though. Her, like, ultimate freedom. Like, they touch on it, but, well, like, if it wasn't for her getting out, like, Sue would have been just a lifetime felon.
Well, I feel like it focused more on, Toph was not pleased with, she gave them all this freedom, and they still did things that, like, well, Toph was a criminal, and then Lynn did everything Toph, like, she went, followed Toph's footsteps, and how they talked about, like, that's not, it didn't, doesn't look like
that was
what Toph wanted. Like, she wanted them to be their own people, and then I guess maybe realized in the end that, like, Lynn wanting to be like her wasn't a bad thing, because Lynn said that Toph, didn't she said Toph didn't want her to be chief of police? Like, that's obviously not what she wanted, and then,
I don't think we know if they ever reconciled over that, because we know Sue and Toph reconciled, but I don't know that if...
Well, I just meant, no, there was, like, a line, like, Lynn said this, and then at the end, what the face? Sue said, you know, she'd be proud of you. And then it's like, what? I don't think
Toph and Lynn ever reconciled.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think
Sue
did.
I don't
say,
think
like,
they did either.
Sue and Toph talked. And
yeah,
Toph
it's
like,
this, the end of this episode happens very, very fast. I think it probably works in general.
Yes.
Like, I'm not upset about it. I was just.
Yeah, no, Sue and, and Toph reconciled, but Toph and Lynn did not.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. I was just talking about, there was, like, a line, you know, like, I'm just making sure I'm not imagining this line that Lynn said, that's not something
wrong. Yeah, she would have been proud of you.
Yeah, they said she would have been proud of you, yeah.
No, I meant the other line where Lynn said, like, this isn't what, like, obviously that's not what Mom wanted about her being joining the police and stuff.
Yeah, that was, I thought becoming chief of police would make her happy, and it didn't.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Did becoming piece of police even make Lynn happy, though? I mean, she seems... She's a very complicated character. Like,
well,
surprisingly,
it's like nothing's
so.
Ever gone her way.
Yeah, like, she's had a lot of hardship in life.
She's kind of like Sokka. Like, good stuff just doesn't happen to them.
She's the one that kicks a rock and ends up getting attacked by a swan.
Yeah, like, it's really... I mean, she handles it obviously differently than Sokka did, but, like... Sokka can never catch a break, and Lynn never seems to be able to catch a break.
Okay. I mean,
okay, I don't know.
I don't know how I feel
just really
about...
I really like Lynn.
Yeah.
I love all of Toph and all of Toph's...
I'm gonna wait...
I flipped out. You can ask... I mean, I was just so excited, because, like, it's Lynn. She's my favorite character of all time, so...
I'm gonna wait for both the English version and future episodes before judging, I guess, this whole stuff. Because for
me...
I
hope they revisit it.
For me, like, yeah, I agree. For me right now, it seems underwritten. Like, all the dialogue itself is just very...
All the memories are just so, like, there's no substance to them. Like, you get, like, a flash, and they're like, I want more.
It's very brief, and it's very,
And it's really straightforward.
It's straightforward. This is just what happens, you know?
And then it's like, okay.
Did she repress those memories?
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they have to bring in Freudian psychology? It's not right. You can't.
It
maybe
is
you
not,
can.
It is.
But you can't.
I don't know. They didn't.
You know
they didn't.
I mean?
They didn't play it super hard. It's not like these are repressed memories, you know. So I don't know.
Well,
if
it seemed
this
more
is
that
her
like,
ink
just...
talking to her now.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been good. Okay. Starting to wrap things up here. I think this episode of note is episode
what
6.
What about the villain stuff?
Yeah. We talked about the villain stuff in episode 5. In episode 6, they capture the car and stuff. I think that was pretty well done. Waterbender, no arms driving the car is pretty great.
It's wise.
Yeah, you should let the person drive who doesn't have arms.
The one person who does not.
Then they are planning on what to do. It seems like they still want to capture Korra. They're gonna try to kidnap the president. I don't know where it's going.
Well, they even said, we're not going to kidnap the president yet. Korra is more important. But yeah. It's like, why?
It seemed kind of odd to me that they had Zaheer and what's-her-face Waterbender be it like a love thing. Like, that seemed just like pointless. Oh, look, here's another couple we can make. So why don't we?
Well, I think we'll see where they go. But I think it was fine for what it was. It was the water. It was the firebender.
Yeah. Okay. It's combustion.
And I'm like, the dude who's driving this, like, do you have to do this right now?
Yeah, and then... Yeah. Then
can we call her that? Can she be combustion woman? I don't see why not.
Then, sure. And then the earthbender is just the least interesting of them, and he can bend magma, though. So that's kind of insane.
Yeah. Oh, do we know if it was him that did that?
I think it was him. Yeah, I assume they're going to show off all four characters' powers, I assume.
That was weird. It's like, I always thought that was an Avatar-only thing, because fire and earth.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe there's... we'll see what's going on.
You could just be extremely proficient. It's like metal bending. You have to be very, very good at your own element to do the...
There could be some type
of connection.
Sort of
special stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know where they're going with any of this. At the very least, it's interesting that they have these like four extreme bender type things.
Hopefully that wasn't like a one-off thing. Like, hopefully they actually touch on that again.
I assume they will.
I would hope so. Yeah. Do we even know the Earthbender's name?
No.
It's probably in the credits. I'm not sure.
True.
On the topic of, advanced bending, like, obviously, you know, there's going to be more than, like, a handful of people who can metal bend, but, like, the wide, like, spread and, like, the whole Bolin thing was just, like, what? Like, I don't know.
I kind of like that it's the concept of, it's not that only a few people can
do it,
you just have to know how to do it, you know? You just, like, have to be taught correctly, because that would make sense,
like,
that no one's
like,
done it
before.
It's
nice, but then at the same time, it's like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of, like, all the advanced... Well, no, I guess that kind of... It's nice that there are advanced bending techniques, but I don't know, I'm kind of like...
lightning also was super rare, and now it's common, because we see Mako working in the power plant doing lightning. Like, it's obviously...
Kind of,
all of the advanced techniques have become more
and
common.
It's really weird, too, because... obviously, there were more traditional bending, like, lessons and being taught in academies in Avatar, and it doesn't seem like that's how it is in Republics, in the Korra world, that it doesn't seem, there's not so much a focus on instruction.
We don't really have an explanation, because we never see anyone go to, a school outside of, like, kind of Sue.
Yeah. Makes sense. But... I think we've talked about this before with the advanced bending. It's just that once you learn techniques and become more widespread within, like, society, it becomes easier to learn. Like, think of, like, gymnastics or, like, ice skating. Like, they invent moves all the time and it becomes standard.
It's so much more complex now than they can even imagine.
Like, think of how many people are in, like, men's ice skating that can now do a quad, which is, like, a trip, which is when you use four spins in the air. And that was, like, unheard of, like, in the 80s. But, like, now we have, I think in the previous Winter Olympics, we had 3 male ice skaters that attempted one in their long performance. Just so you know, I really like ice skating. And before, even, like, within the previous, like, 2 Olympics, it was just kind of unheard of to throw a quad. Or that's what I get from casual watching.
None of this advanced bending stuff bothers me too much. I feel like this is a thing a lot of casual fans talk about, so I hear it a lot from, like, friends that are not, like, super into it, you know?
I hope we get the air thing.
That's the other one you always hear. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where they go with it. The other thing we didn't mention was Varric is back, and he seems cool.
Yeah, because he's Iron Man.
Yeah, he's Iron Man. So, you know, there's that. The last thing we didn't mention, Katie Matilla wrote episode 6. It doesn't seem like she's going to be a writer for the rest of it, because she's not listed as a writer in the credits, just as writing this one episode. She wrote The Beach in Avatar, and she was a writer's assistant for the rest of the series. So it's really nice to have someone outside of these 3 men, you know, writing things. Getting a female presence on the writing stuff was not something I thought we'd see. So this was very nice. And she was writing the female relationship episode, too, between Lin and Sue, so it's great.
Which is what we needed, let's be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, and I think it's interesting that, like, it's like Sue and Lin's fight starts when Sue's like, no wonder Tenzin broke up with you. I feel like that's something I would have criticized if Mike wrote that episode, but now that Katie wrote it, I'm not going to criticize that. So I think that's just of note and interesting.
I feel like they just, like, I feel like a lot of that's just reminding the audience.
Yeah, that's true. That is kind of a plot device for reminding the audience.
Like, I mean, of course, I'm not saying that's not necessarily something that, like, we've heard said. And, of course, Cora said, you know, you're going to be lonely and bitter the rest of your life. Like, I just feel like that's a lot of, like, instant insult. They just come up for a
little. They did need to mention Tenzin at some point in this episode, because they haven't mentioned their relationship since book one.
It's interesting to see that on top of everything else, Sue's a very, very talented combatant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're the daughter of Toph, I mean, it's just kind of going to be that, like, that, like, I mean, that, like, naturally.
It started off taking her in more of, like, an artsy direction, like architecture and just creativity and stuff, but it shows that she's actually more well-rounded than initially. Well, it
looks like we have, like, a Renaissance character.
Yeah.
She's very, like,
Renaissance woman.
She's probably a really highly intelligent and really highly intelligent people can do everything.
True.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's also, we haven't seen a character like this, honestly, since, like, Pian Dao.
We haven't.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's kind of neat. I did enjoy that. Okay. I mean, again, I wasn't shocked. I mean, it's...
And the next episode title going to be Berlin's Master.
Last thing before we wrap things up. Rank, it's not fair to have a review, but let's rank the episodes. I would go 5, 4, 6, 3. From best to worst.
I'd probably I'm trying to make them not blur together in my head.
Yeah, 5, 6, 4, 3, I would agree.
I think it's fair to rank 6.
I mean, I'm just obsessed with Lin, so that's automatically going to, like, be ranked higher anyway. But
I think 4 is just such a well-executed episode.
We also didn't talk about that one of her children is Skrillex. Like,
Skrillex. He does not have his actual name. He is Skrillex. And we will not be referring to him by any other name than Skrillex on the podcast.
That was so stereotypical, but so funny. Like, his statue gets destroyed. Like, oh, it's better.
I don't love the portrayal of, like, them making fun of, like, art sculptures. I'm sad Sam left, because Sam actually is an art sculpture person, so she could have talked about that. But I don't know. It's kind of played for laughs. That seemed cheap.
At the same time, it's Nick, and Nick does sometimes go for the low-hanging fruit.
That seemed cheap for me, like, it looks better now. That was... Okay, now here's an abrupt transition. Before we wrap things up, we are going to discuss the trailer again, except this is still spoilers, so now we can discuss what we've seen from this that affects what we just literally said. Remember that what we talked about, all of the leak discussion stuff we talked about, we hadn't seen the trailer yet. But yeah, Philip, you had something to say about the trailer.
Not about the trailer, actually. It was about the show, so...
Well, it's the same. It's all intertwined.
Okay, well, yeah, what I was going to say is, I thought it was interesting how Sue and Lin resolved their conflict, because, like, the stereotypical, like, girly way to do it would have been them, like, sitting down, talking about their feelings, like, you know, conforming to that stereotype, but instead they, you know, like, had a fight, an actual fight about it.
It was like the Toph Katara kind of deal in, what episode was it?
Yeah, like, it was just, they weren't conforming
to, in season 2, season 3.
Yeah, because, like, the, you know, fighting out your issues is kind of, like, the stereotypical guy way to do things. And I thought that was good that they didn't go, like, we're going to sit down and talk about our feelings. Right?
And it definitely fit their upbringing, because, of course, this Toph wasn't going to talk to anybody about anything.
Yeah.
She was just going to hit you in the head with a rock, so.
Be like, stop doing that. No, be nice.
The only word she had was insults.
Yeah, I agree this makes sense, and it's a nice gender subversion. Okay, anyway, back to the trailer. Let's discuss spoilers about Trey. One thing I wanted to note was that scene, the desert oasis thing we talked about, is also the same one that Cora is sitting outside of in the beginning of the trailer.
So there's something in that desert oasis.
Yeah, some reason.
Didn't they mention that? The Lin sister used to live with the sandbenders.
Oh, yes. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that actually, if you look at it, that looks quite like this.
We have the sandbender scene. There's literal sandbenders, and then there's a fish coming out of the sand.
Are any of you familiar with Dune?
Hey, you know, it makes sense. Most deserts were under the ocean at one point, so maybe if they have, like, tectonic stuff, too. And then, so that's, like, a spirit of, like, what used to be the ocean.
Cool.
The one big thing I want to talk about here is Bumi airbending.
Bumi
can't airbend at the end of episode 6. So this means that more airbenders are going to be discovered after this. This really leads me to believe that there's going to be a big revelation with airbenders. And the one, actually, I didn't mention this while we were talking about the The leak?
If you believe, you can be an airbender.
My big theory is that the people that are airbenders are being possessed by spirits in some way. They're being spiritually affected.
That would be so cool. Well, I think they're absorbing spiritual energy.
Or something involving the spirits, yeah.
Well, something that had to do with harmonic convergence, because, like, I do have a feeling, like, I kind of agree with you that how, like, bending has to do with the spirit, and of course we've kind of had discussions about the soul and like what's the spirit in Avatar, yeah. But then also when you go into the spirit world you can't bend, so how much of a connection is there really? So that's just kind of my
well, it was also the spirits who like gave bending, sure. Well, no, it was the turtles who gave bending, but the spirits were kind of part of that whole thing, like it's all intertwined.
Well, we also don't know, like when we say animals, like they could have just been spirits, because a lot of the spirits in the Avatar world are animals.
Indeed.
And but a lot of them like, chose to
they're
have
visually
mortal
distinct,
forms.
Though, like because the but spirits
some of
are
them see-through. Chose to have mortal forms, like that.
I think that's true because like Wan Chi Tong wasn't see through and stuff.
Exactly, and
the fish.
We don't know. The badger moles could have just been like a spirit that chose to be mortal, like Lian. No, wait.
Well, we already know the badger moles were a parable for the lion turtles.
Well, no, they were for. Well, they said that. Well, Toph said she learned earthbending from the badger moles.
No, I mean, like, the style they got from them, maybe. But, like, the potential to earthbend was
that's true.
From mm-hmm. the Lion Turtles.
That's true.
So we see a lot of things that we've seen already. I think the biggest thing is we see a lot of fighting with Zaheer and crew.
Yeah. One thing, if you guys go to the 45-second time mark, is if there's a guy doing pull-ups with a bunch of tattoos. Is that the earthbending guy?
Don't know.
Was he because, in a wooden prison?
Yeah.
It looks like
that makes me think he's an earthbender because that's the punishment they use for Toph.
Yeah,
you would think that's the earthbender. So I think what a large part of episodes 1 and 2 is the other three breaking out, right? So I think this is from episodes 1 and 2. I think there's a Zaheer breaking out scene, which we also see in the trailers from episodes 1 and 2.
And we see the waterbender girl like develop the waterbender arms.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a lot of 1 and 2.
I hope we find out how Zuko gets a dragon though, because
yes,
yeah,
that's important.
He's not a Fire Lord. He's a Khaleesi.
The other
did he just go to Sun Warriors and be like, hey, I'm taking one of your dragons?
Well, I mean, when you think about it though, I mean, they have a resurgence of flying bison, so there could have been a resurgence of dragons.
Guys, at 129 in the trailer we see someone in airbender clothes flying. I'm 90% sure that's Kai.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kai.
So,
yeah,
for sure, Kai. Is Kai dying? Is that what's happening here?
Yes, there's
an he's an airbender. He'll just be like, oh, whoops, air below me, I'm fine.
Yeah, he can fly, so, you know.
Also, yeah, I was looking at
like he's unconscious.
Yeah, he doesn't have a glider, so he might be in trouble there.
The Kurosami thing, it's definitely her riding out of the like, shot from the beginning. The city
yeah,
of Korra.
Yeah, so I don't think that's in episodes 1 and 2, because they're still in Republic City, aren't they?
Yeah, so
it could be. It could be in episode 2. It could be after they got kicked out before they go to Ba Sing Se. They visit that place. But it also could be from episode 7 or later.
And then Kurosami happens.
And then Korra and Asami realize their true feelings for each other, and then that's the rest of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's really what we need.
Yeah.
Hush.
any other spoiler things from the trailer? I don't think there's that much. Most of it's just random action.
Fish, like the giant whale thing.
Yeah, the fish jumping. I don't know what we can say about that, though.
Well, also, the whale she saw just flying in the sky.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
I have
a question, though. Do you think this trailer is a reaction to the leaks? Or
yes, I think so.
Definitely.
I think it's a reaction.
So that's why it's very
hastily put together. Yes.
One thing, it looks like they're back in Republic City, because it looks like some of the fight scenes with the Tetrad, the people who are trying to get Korra.
They haven't left yet,
No, but we don't meet the bad guys until after they have left Republic City. But they're showing fight scenes with them.
We don't know why they got kicked out, though.
Yeah, it's possible they went to Republic City in episodes 1 and 2.
But Korra's gang.
They're fighting Korra's gang, so it has to be after, because Lin introduces the concept of them to them.
But then Lin, I don't understand
Dylan,
why Lin...
I didn't get any of what you just said. Can you please repeat
yourself? It's okay. No, it's Phillip's right, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It has to be after episode 6.
But then that's another thing, though, is why does Lin keep wanting to take Korra back to the city when she's been banished?
Probably because Lin just assumes she can override the president.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I mean, that's true. I mean, I wouldn't put that past Lin. I was just
shocked.
Like, Lin
she pushes
so
the doors that say pool just because that's what she wants to do.
I mean, it's Lin.
Actually, thinking about it, wasn't Korra, like, effectively kind of kicked out of Republic City?
That's what I'm talking about. She was banished.
Here's the thing. We have no idea really what happened there. Is we just got a one thing snippet that said the president banished her. We don't know why, for what,
And he might not even been banished.
Or even like... Cora's reaction. I mean, I don't know if he can even has the authority to do that. She might have just been, well, okay, I'm going to leave my own there.
She could have been heavily suggested that she leave because she caused a lot of problems. I mean,
let's go back to the thing that just happened sometimes. Banished.
She just need to go away for a while and not be here. Toodles.
So there is a scene of a giant spirit whale in the sky. And Cora's just...
I just saw something. I'm looking over the trailer again. If you look at around like 153, you can see Cora jumping out of a window with Rohan.
Is that Rohan?
That's dangerous.
What other small children do we know?
It could just be a random small child.
I think it's Rohan.
Burning building.
No, it looks like
Rohan's not that old. No, it can't be him.
I mean, how far ahead is he set in the future? Babies get
only
big
a few months,
fast.
I think.
No,
I think
because there was the time skip.
You get bigger.
Books 1 and 2 was only... Oh, that was 6 months. Okay, yeah, but this would... He looks 2 there, 2, 3, right? So this would have to be a year
that's
and a half
three.
After
that's
that.
That's not a 2-3-year-old child, Dylan.
Yeah, no, that could... No, that's not... That's not a 1-year-old child, for sure. He's... No.
Maybe 18 months at most.
I don't know.
His head is really big, and young children have big heads.
I don't think that's Rohan. I don't think that's what he looks like.
What time is that?
It's 152. I don't think it's... No, I'm just looking at his appearance.
It may not be, because when he's further away, he looks...
Didn't it look like they were in an air temple?
I don't know what they're jumping out of.
Because like, I assumed it was
spirit,
an air temple.
Well.
I don't know.
Spirit, yeah,
I still
spirit.
Don't understand the giant spirit, like, sea creatures.
Because sometimes...
Yeah, it looks like they're in a building, and tentacles are, like, overwhelming
aquatic.
The building and pulling it down.
Okay. Any other things from the trailer? We're kind of getting...
Where is this
garbled
red tree
here.
Place? She's like in a cliff, but there's like a whale thing. But like, where is she?
The problem with this trailer for speculating is most of it is fight scenes, which you can't comment on. And then a lot of it's just random shots, which we have no context for. So like, how are we supposed to speculate on anything? Boomy airbending is the only crazy thing. And,
that's
you know, of course, Zuko.
I mean, if we hadn't watched the first 6 episodes, we could speculate more.
Yeah, but it would be like, it would be just, oh, here's some random action, you know?
Could you imagine, though, how weird that would look to people who didn't watch the first, like, the leaked episodes, though?
They'd be like, oh my god, Zuko!
Oh my god, Zuko! Oh my god, airbending!
Yeah.
Like, they're probably, like, going insane.
Well, Zuko's been leaked for a while because of the Netherlands trailer.
Was he in the Netherlands trailer?
Yeah, because there was a dragon.
We didn't know it was him though. Right?
I thought they just talked about like obviously Zuko was going to be in season 3. Like,
yeah,
I thought we
kind of knew
that.
Because they'd mentioned it before. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, last
back
thoughts before
to
we.
Rohan thing. The child is almost the same color as Cora.
Yeah, Rohan's lighter.
Andrew
should
not get five.
I'm just asking that, like, just that random question that has nothing to do with anything. But while I was gone, did we discuss the Sokka? Being the father thing.
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't do that. So Sokka is Sue's father. There you go. It's
I think I
done. No questions, no discussion. Taka's canon, moving on. Okay.
Yeah.
we
actually thought that when they shook hands because Sue's darker than Lin.
Sue
yeah.
looks
yeah.
like, young
back.
Sue looks exactly like Katara.
She looks like Kaya. And
Kaya or Katara.
The next
looks,
male
they're very
relative,
similar.
Which would be Sokka.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, now that we got
which
that.
Which would be
well.
Okay because Tenzin didn't date Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
True. Do you imagine how weird that dynamic would be? It's like, oh, my cousin's dating you. That's weird. Like, because they're half siblings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so it's not.
Okay because
yeah, they're
not
blood
related.
Related.
Yeah,
I know,
nice.
But it's still a fun
yeah.
dynamic. It's
yeah.
like,
it is a fun
if
dynamic.
They got married, they'd be doubly related.
Ooh, okay. 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 Any important final thoughts on this trailer? No.
Hey, important thing.
I think we pretty much covered it. Lots of random fight scenes.
Yep. Boomy airbending. That's going to be something.
That is the biggest, most important thing.
Is it that every non-bender just airbends now? Is that what happens?
There's no way.
Right.
I don't know.
Like that. That can't.
It would be
crazy.
That would
completely throw the balance in favor of airbenders.
But then also, I think it's interesting that it's people of all ages.
Yes.
That's what's truly fascinating to me. Like, it can
we don't have any
be
like
funny.
Really old people though. It's mostly younger people.
Well, Boomy's
like, Boomy's
not young.
The oldest one we've seen.
No, there were some older people. It looked like.
Yeah, there was like when in 3 or like right after they rescued them from like Boss Thing Say, there was a woman who stood up who looked pretty like late 50s, early 60s. She was old.
Like it looks like everybody. Like it could be anybody of any age. Which that's really what I'm interested to see.
Okay.
Like, what's the dynamic or the reason?
Yep, I think that's the big mystery of the season.
And the important thing is Korsami, also. Another
so,
important.
We've learned two
one
things.
The thing with the airbenders is it people, or is it people with airbender heritage?
You know or you don't care about my two things that
it's
we've learned,
it's funny
Bella.
Because I know what one of the two things is going to be.
We've learned two
I care.
One Korsami, two Taka's cannon. There we go.
Those are the most important stuff. It is.
Okay. Okay. I think this podcast is 2 hours, so that's enough.
We should change what we end on to Taka Lives.
Yeah.
No, we already said. Spoilers about what we're going to end on. That hasn't happened yet. Okay, thanks. Let's wrap things up. Yeah. Okay, but anyway. Okay. Wrapping things up, we got to go record the trailer discussion part. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Sam, Mel, Delaney, Philip, Britt. All the rest of the credit stuff, find our bios and stuff on the podcast page, dongfeng.net/podcast, assuming it exists and DF is not down. If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating from the spirit world. All donations go directly to supporting our podcast. You can donate by going to dongfeng.net/podcast and clicking donate at the top. Thank you to, now I don't have their actual names. I just have the nicknames of the people. Gareth,
they
Sierra,
know who they are.
Nick, Rudy and Tabuti.
It's G-Money, Sierra Miss, Nick at Night, and Rudy and Tabuti.
Who are they? Who are Rudy and Tabuti's actual names?
They just wanted to be called the Chalk Twins, which is why we're Chalk Zone, and we gave them those names.
Anyway, the podcast is down. The DF is down right now, which is why I can't see the credits page. Anyway, thanks for listening. I don't know if the podcast is going to be regular. It's probably not going to be regular. We'll do another one at some point. I'll decide that later. You can send us voicemails, email dylan@dongfeng.net, Tumblr, Twitter @dongfeng. And thanks for listening. Any last thoughts before we go record the trailer discussion?
Lin, 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 Lin. That's just how I feel.
Well, what do we want to end on?
I want to be Sue when I grow up.
It's a good aspiration. I think it's pretty.
I'm glad you think so.
Pretty. Yeah, no, I think I want to be Sue when I grow up, too.
I think everyone does, yeah. And anything good to end on? There's got to be something good. We're discussing
really
court,
angrily so. Saying be the leaf, because let's be honest. That was so good.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. What else?
We're doing be the leaf angrily because that was hilarious.
No. Oh, my favorite was like, I don't even know what that means. Yeah, that was so great. Like, the Milo humor was on point as well.
And even then, like, Zahir was just, like, so respectful Spanish to Milo.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What else? What else? Come on.
Thanks for getting the podcast now, apparently, because you don't like anyone's ideas.
Yeah, this happens frequently.
Be the leaf angrily is a good suggestion.
We already decided, Dylan. You can't.
You are two out of five. Something in Spanish. Oh, yeah. Something in Spanish.
Senor Zuko.
Yes, that's the game. Okay, there you go. Okay, thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3. Senor Zuko.
Be the leaf.
Senor Zuko. Be the leaf. Like, angrily. Like.